Good morning, church. It is always a great privilege to speak in the Newton Abbott House, and it is so good to be here this morning and see people back after summer holidays. We've missed everybody. It's been, you know, people are still coming and going at the moment, and we remember them and just pray over them as they're finishing holidays, but it's good that to see everybody here this morning. And so, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13, we're going to be there crossing over a little bit into 14 as well. And I'm going to do this in two parts this morning because I'm not preaching next week. I'm preaching next in October, the 1st of October or the first week of October. So I'm going to do this in two parts, so hopefully you'll remember. So this will be a first part, so it won't be a completed sermon this morning. But I believe it's a word on our heart for us as a church as we turn a corner. We planted in January, all right? Who was with us on the first Sunday? Yeah, okay, first Sunday we were here. And God has taken us on a wonderful, wonderful journey. And we have met some wonderful people. God has been doing some wonderful things in people's hearts and lives. And he is not finished. In fact, it is just the start. Do we believe that? It's just the start. And this morning, I've got a message that I want to bring to the house. I love this house. God is really stirring Phil and I's heart for this house and for what he wants to do with us as a local church in this region. But we believe in God has got great days for this house. Can we just bow our heads in prayer this morning? Just before we start opening scripture, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we first of all love you. We thank you for being a good father to us. Lord, there are many people in this room today that can testify that you have been a faithful father over decades. And Lord, while we're on this journey, I'm going to speak about journey this morning. Lord, we just say as a house this morning that we cannot do this journey without you. We absolutely need you. If we're going to live the full life that you have for us, not only do we need you, but we need to be a people that are full of your spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in Newton Abbott. We thank you that you are building your church. We thank you, Lord, that we get to play a part in you building your church upon the earth for such a time as this. So, Lord, as we now open scriptures, as we come around your word, Lord, speak clear to us, bring clarity. Yeah. I pray that you would make us more passionate than ever this week as we go out and follow you. Yeah. I pray, Lord, that we will see things happen in our lives this week. Prayers answered. Miracles take place. Dark areas shifted. And the name of Jesus glorified. We commit all these things to you and commit these next moments to you, Lord. This is not just about us spectating around some words this morning. These are your words. So come, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Let your presence be near. Yeah. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay, so turn to Exodus chapter 11. And we're going to start from 17. And I'll do a bit of context in a moment for maybe some who aren't familiar with some of these passages. Okay, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid. Everyone say, surely. God will surely come to your aid. And then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped to Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Going into chapter 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to camp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariots made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with the officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen, troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified. Bit different, isn't it? They're marching out in boldness, but now they are terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to die in the desert? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. What an incredible passage of scripture. For the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to read the end, but some of you who know scriptures know that the next scene is the parting of the Red Sea, that God leads his people out and drowns the Egyptian army. Let me just bring a little bit of context this morning. Way back in Genesis, we know that God gave a promise to Abraham. Are you with me this morning? Everybody remember that scene, okay? So right at the start, you have creation, and we have the whole story of Noah. God wanted a people for himself. I loved what Lawson said this morning, you are a loved people, because God has gone to great lengths for you and I to be here today. You only have to read the stories of the Old Testament to realize the lengths that God has gone to for us to be here today by his grace and his goodness. And so the promise was given to Abraham. Abraham, you're going to be a father of nations. In fact, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sand on the shores. Look up and see the sky, Abraham. Can you count the stars? No, there's so many of them. Exactly. That's how many your descendants are going to be. And they are going to be a special people called out. And other nations of the world are going to look on you and know that you are special. And they are going to know that I exist because I am going to bless you and lead you. I am going to father you, God says to them, and you will be my children. What a wonderful promise. And the promise was, this great promise was working its way through. You read the Old Testament, you see the promise. The promise comes through Isaac. There's some hiccups along the way, but the promise comes through Isaac. The amazing story of Sarah giving birth at such an old age. Ladies, in your 90s, if you're here. Anybody want to give birth to babies in their 90s? No, we won't go there. And then we come to Joseph. This wonderful story of Joseph, who's mentioned in the readings this morning about his bones. We'll come back to that in a moment. And he finds himself in Egypt. And he actually rises to amazing power, really, because he becomes second in leadership to the top guy, to the king in Egypt. It's all looking good. But then there is a massive blow. You see, the king that comes on the scene just as Joseph is ending his life is a wicked king. And he decides one day, looking out at the children of God, that they are growing too numerous. And he's thinking to himself, if we don't control them, they will overtake us. And so this king rises up and he puts them into bondage. Israel enters 400 years of bondage. The promise seemed out of reach. How many here in this room today, you've had promises from God? And they've come with delays. The promise seems out of reach. Where is the promise, Lord? Where is it? And something happened to God's people while they were in Egypt. Their hearts hardened. The promise was delayed. Their hearts were getting harder towards God. They lost sight of the promise. They actually started to settle in Egypt. Occasionally they would cry out when things got a bit tough, but they started to settle in Egypt. You see, that's what happens when we lose sight of the promises of God. We can easily settle in what we're used to, what we've been accustomed to for so long, and we can forget what God has promised, what he has said over our lives. Unbelief crept into the children of God. And it actually had devastating consequences because when they did finally come out of bondage after all those years, a 2-week journey to the promised destination, to where God wanted them, took them over 4 decades. I know in my life, particularly in my late teens, early 20s, my unbelief delayed some responses in my life because God needed to teach me some painful lessons about trusting him. And that generation that left, the older generation that grumbled and mumbled in Egypt, never made it to the promised land. They died along the way because they wouldn't believe God. That's why, church, it is vital in every generation. I love that my children are here. I feel so emotional when I preach and my kids are here. Because in every, I'm not going to show you up, don't worry. I'm not going to get you out. And in every generation, we pray for the generations, okay? Every generation, it's vital that we keep the word of God close to our hearts and minds, in our mouths, in our ears, in every generation. And it's no wonder that when Moses eventually, he got near the promised land. Moses never got into the promised land. But when he got near to handing his leadership over to Joshua, this is what God says to Joshua. He says, before you get to the promised land, this is what I want you to do. If you want to succeed, and Joshua's like, well, yeah. If you want things to go well with you, well, yeah. You've got to do this one thing. You've got to meditate day and night. Night and day. In other words, you are not going to make it as a people on the face of the earth if you do not meditate day and night on my word. If we're going to be successful, if it's going to go well with us in our personal lives, with our families, with this church, we've got to meditate day and night, day and night. Do you know what was lovely over summer? We did a bit of a summer challenge. I think about 26 people in the church joined us, and maybe others that we don't know about. We read scripture at different times of the day, but we committed to reading scripture for 30 minutes every day for 30 days through summer. And it was a challenge, because summer can be busy. And 30 minutes may initially seem, that's a long time in my day, but 30 minutes soon became very quick during the day. And so many people were texting in and emailing and saying, I can't believe, I feel like I'm being bathed in scripture. I can't believe how good this is doing me. I feel stronger. I feel like I've got more hope. I feel like my faith is just rising through daily reading scripture. This morning, I wonder how we as a church and individuals, how we are walking through the land. Because this is what we're talking about this morning. The Israelites walked through the land with unbelief. Some of them didn't reach their destination. Church, we are walking through the land. And it is through the land, because this isn't our destination. You may have moved to Newton Abbot, great, and we're glad you're here, but this isn't the stop. We are going through, and our destination is meeting him face to face one day in eternity. We're passing through. We're almost like aliens, strangers in the land, looking for an eternal home. 0 to 30's vision in this church. We want to see a generation. We want to see this house filled with children, young people, teenagers, young families that camp around the Word of God, that love the Scriptures, that love Jesus Christ. Is Esther here this morning? Esther, I love what you're doing. You know, once a month, Esther takes the teenagers out. Esther, at this point in time, you are standing in the gap for a generation. Esther, you are seeing beyond for teenagers right now. You're seeing ahead. As a church, can we see what is ahead, not as we are today? Can we see it? How we walk through the land as individuals is paramount to what we will see, not just now, but for the generations ahead. Paul says this. He says, I do not run aimlessly. I'm not punching the air like a boxer. I'm alert. I'm intentional. I know where I'm heading. I'm holding temporary things very lightly, but I'm holding the eternal things with all that I've got. Okay, I've got one point to make this morning, which is brilliant, and then we're going to break bread together, okay? And the point is this. We can walk through this land today and for the rest of our earthly lives with absolute assurance in Christ. Everyone say assurance.
Assurance.
Assurance. Okay. Israel's deliverance out of Egypt was assured. It was assured. And I'll explain what I mean by that. When God gave the promise to Abraham, okay, the promise was a done deal. It was a done deal, all right? So in other words, the promise was given to God's people long before they went into slavery, okay? They were a special possession on the face of the earth. Their future was secured, not only just because of the promise, but because of the kindness of God. And how kind was he towards the Israelites? Backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. Anybody experienced the kindness of God when you've gone backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards? He's so merciful. There's a few hands at the back going up. Yes, yes. He's so merciful. So God's people had received a promise. Their deliverance was a done deal. It was just a matter of when. But how we journey through the land will determine how we are when we wait to see the promise fulfilled. Okay? It was only a matter of when. Because how many of us know that God does not back out of his promises? God keeps his promises. And this book is full of his promises. Absolutely full of them, right? You take them, you believe them, you act upon them. It is a done deal. But you see, the issue with the Israelites, they were unfaithful. They were an unbelieving people. They didn't believe God. Now, let me just pause for a moment here, because I think this is the big challenge in church, right? We have people who believe in God, and we have people who believe God. And the two perspectives have two very different outcomes. So we have people who believe in God. They believe that God exists. We have an enemy that believes God exists. But then we have people who believe God. In other words, I believe every single thing he says. I'm taking it. I absolutely believe him. He's going to come true. I know he's faithful. So we can believe that God exists without actually believing his word to be true. Have you ever had those moments? I have. Oh, I believe God, you exist. But then this doctor's report comes through and it's like, oh, do I trust him to see me through, even regardless of what the outcome may be, from life's first cry to final breath? I'm singing Jesus Commands My Destiny, but oh, now it's okay to be a bit shaky and go, you know, oh, but not for long. We've got to come back to going, God, do I believe? Not that you just exist, but I believe and trust your word and your promises to be true. You know, the ancient fathers and mothers, you can read it in Hebrews 11, they were commended for this. I want us to really get this morning. Okay, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. I mean, I so admire this group of people. So they didn't receive the things promised, but they saw them and welcomed them from afar. In other words, they lived, the promise was given, God had spoken, and they obeyed and lived through their lives knowing that the promise was theirs. And that is some way to live. That is some position. Every day in your everyday life to go, well, the promise has been spoken. God has spoken. I'm going to obey. I'm going to live regardless of what I see in the natural because it's done. Because God keeps his promises. It's a done deal. Chapter 13, if you look, did anybody notice the bones? The bones of Joseph. I love this, okay? So you've got to think, Joseph and Abraham, this is a couple of hundred years before they even went into slavery. All right. And they say Joseph made people swear, the children of God swear an oath. And he says, when God comes to your aid, right? And bear in mind, Joseph had no idea that they were just about to enter 400. No one knew they were just about to enter 400 years of bondage. Joseph says, when God comes to your aid, because he surely will, don't you dare leave me in Egypt. I don't want any part of me in Egypt. I want to be where God's people are. All right? Joseph prophesied. Okay? He was able to prophesy, I'll tell you why, because he held on to the promise. He saw the promise from afar, but not just seeing it, he lived the promise. He lived as though any day now, this promise is going to be fulfilled. What a position. Can you imagine as a church that we take God's word and say, I am living on these promises as though they're going to happen right now at any moment. In fact, they're a done deal already because God has said it. And Joseph, he says, I don't want any part of my bones in Egypt. take me with you. Because God will surely come to your rescue. Don't forget Joseph. He was sold into slavery himself, yeah, as a young teenager. Can you imagine that? Somebody, Reuben, your age. Your brother, so jealous of you, he grabs you. He sells you off. James is probably thinking, I would love to do that. So Joseph, a young man, is sold into slavery. He then gets falsely accused and has to go into prison for over a decade. And then during this time, he's still believing the promise. He is still believing the promise. I'll tell you why he's still believing the promise. Can I? The evidence is here. Because God promoted him. God promoted him second in command. I mean, he basically was the leader of Israel. Sorry, the leader of Egypt, bar one. That is the evidence that Joseph still kept hold of the promises of God. Yeah. And saw them from afar. He believed God. He believed that he would see the faithfulness of God, that God would surely come and rescue them. He lived in holiness. Do you remember that time when he had to run away from Potiphar's wife? Yeah. He lived in holiness, purity, righteousness. These things are all important to God. How we journey our way through the land. Incredible, incredible. Church, 2,000 years ago, some 2,000 years ago now, it's over. Our deliverance, our salvation, our forgiveness of sins, our eternal destination, our resurrection was a done deal through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our deliverance is completely assured today through the new covenant of Jesus Christ. You know what I love? Jesus didn't need his bones moving because he wasn't dead long enough. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He wasn't dead long enough. After 3 days, he rose from the grave. And anyone today, I don't know who you are today, if there's anybody here, but anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ, anyone who comes to him, enters a relationship with God, sealed by the Holy Spirit, forgiven of anything they've ever done and ever will do, and their eternal destination is secure in him. What amazing truth, what amazing truth. Remember that hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood.
Come on.
Blessed assurance. Are you assured this morning, church, that Jesus is yours? Yeah. Have you got that assurance this morning?
Yeah.
That assurance when that bad report comes through, when that diagnosis comes through. You know, it's a mystery. Healing is a mystery. Do I believe God heals today? Absolutely, he does. All right? But it's still a mystery because not everybody I pray for gets healed, right? And so my position kind of works like this. Lord, right to the end, we believe you've got us. That either way, in life or death, he will surely come through for us. Because some things are mysteries. And we get asked a lot as pastors, well, why hasn't this and why hasn't that? I don't think we should ask why and why. I think we just got to trust God. Hold on to his script. Hold on to his word. Journey through the land, absolutely fully being assured that we are his children. That he is a good, good father. You know, if we are never assured as we journey through the land, we will end up walking confused and aimless. It's a terrible place to be in. To be confused, to be aimless, to beat the air for nothing, to not really know where you're going. Meditate day and night. The word of God will keep us on track. And finally this morning, then we're going to break bread. Have an assurance in God, not only makes us a treasured possession. But this is the exciting thing for us as a local church. It means that we can partner with God at this point in time. This is what we've got. We are alive now. This special possession. We can journey through the land, partnering with God to see his kingdom come upon Newton Abbott, upon our lives, upon our families. Do we in this room today believe that God has not finished with us yet? Do we believe that God will surely come through for us in our lives? Are we going to leave this place this morning saying, God, I can't see it in the flesh, but I am seeing it in the spirit. I know it because your word says that you will surely come through for us. For our lives, for our families. What about the prodigals this morning? How many of us have got prodigals that we know in our families that we are desperate to see back? Next year, we're going to do a production. Sorry, Phil and Reuben, I'm just going to let it out. We're going to do a production called The Road Home. And we're going to hire a theatre, and we are going to do, it's going to be called, The Road Home. And it's all about prodigals coming home. It was something I wrote about 12 years ago when we were up north in a church. And it's written, the whole book is written by Jay John. And I've spoke to Jay John, we've got permission to rewrite it for a script. But we are going to put on the performance of The Road Home. Come on. Lawson's going to write a song just for this production. He doesn't know yet. Well, yeah, Lawson's going to write a song. 12 of you are going to be actors.
Come on.
All right? And we are creatively going to put on this production called The Road Home. And I'm not going to say too much, but right at the end, there is this lovely scene. The lights go down, because I used to be creative arts director at my old church. I know, I'm laying it all out the bag now. All right, but we were in a big auditorium, imagine big auditorium, and the lights go down. And there is this scene where the father is at his house and the son comes running. And you see them both in the middle just come in and embrace each other. That is the picture of a father who loves his special possession. We are a special possession on the face of the earth, church. Incredible. The father would go to such lengths for us as a church in Newton Abbott. God will visit our streets. God is going to turn up in Deo Gloria. Let me tell you, church, we have been fighting for Deo Gloria on the high street, like the paperwork this guy has done, the meetings this guy has done with the team up in Exeter and architects and everybody else. It is for another day, but in a few weeks' time, we will have some concrete stuff to bring to you. But keep on praying. But we have wrestled, but we're seeing it in the spirit, that it will be open for the glory of God. We're going to see people, God visiting people in that coffee shop. It's going to be something, I'm telling you, to behold. But God keeps his promises. The sick healed, the addicts restored. The wonderful testimony of James. James isn't here this morning, but when he comes back from California, do pray for him, won't you? When James comes back, we're going to hear the story of his life. What his life has been like, but he's been over 12 months now, absolutely clean. But an addict, completely, God has completely touched, restored and healed. The God of miracles yesterday is the God of miracles today. He keeps his promises. He keeps his agreement, his covenant to 1,000 generations to those who love him. Will we dream again? I just feel to say, do you want to grab your communion cups? We're going to go straight into communion this morning. We'd have maybe some background stuff if you've got anything. There are some people here this morning and, really hurt. Some stuff has gone on in your life. And it's absolutely hurt your heart. Like, really hurt. And you still love God. You've still loved God through it. But there's been that disappointment and that real deep hurt. And actually in church as well. experiences. We've all had them. If you've been in church long enough, you'll have a bad church experience. We all have. But I love the church because Jesus loves the church. And I'm in full assurance that God hasn't finished with his church. In fact, I believe we're coming up to a wonderful harvest. See it. Don't know when, don't know how, but it's coming. And I am determined to live the rest of my days in full assurance of the day when it comes. I have to, because of a next generation coming up. What are we going to pass on to the next generation? I want to be a Joshua. Well, not a male Joshua. That says, we've got to meditate day and night. We're going to inspire a generation to love the Lord their God with not just a little bit of their heart, but all of their heart. To go out and radically serve him. An older generation that'll get round the young and say, I'm going to love you to bits. I'm going to encourage you. I'm not going to look at the way you're dressed and go, oh my goodness, look at the holes in their jeans. Look at the piercings they've got. God, save us from a spirit of religion. God wants a net full of his people. Full assurance. I've got so much to say, but I would pick it up in a couple of weeks. Full assurance in Jesus Christ. How we walk through the land is critical to not just now, but the next generation. The promise is here. The promise is Jesus. We're in the fulfillment days. Woo-hoo! Jesus is here. For those that are broken this morning, I want to say to you this word. It's time to dream again. Like really dream spiritual dreams, spiritual visions again. I think we've walked, or we've allowed hurt to stifle creativity, stifle the dreams, stifle the out-of-the-box plans that God wants to do in and through our lives. We prayed a prayer this morning. I think, Reuben, you prayed it. And you said, Lord, I can't just go back to meetings, 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 meetings. There's got to be an outworking of who we are as people affected our lives in Newton Abbot and Tynmouth and Torbay and Kingstynton and Kings Kurzweil and Ogwell and all these areas. It's time to dream again. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We thank you for all the promises that are in Jesus. We thank you for the hope that we have because of Jesus. We thank you that we are alive because of Jesus. We thank you that we have hope beyond the grave because of Jesus. We thank you that we are not the same because of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, we have plans and purposes because of Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you.